Now, our knowledge of Gnosticism derives mainly from the writings of Christians against the Gnostic teachers, writers such as Irenaeus and Tertullian, who give us long citations and descriptions of their teachings. And for a long time, that's all we had. But then in 1947, at Nag Hammadi in Egypt, we discovered an entire library of Gnostic writings, a bizarre collection of gospels, revelatory texts, tractates. Some of them clearly have no connection with Christianity, some of them deeply hostile to Judaism, and some not so hostile to Judaism. But from both these outsider sources and insider sources, we have a better view now of how powerful this movement really was. Both the Cephean and Valentinian forms of Gnosticism. Cephean Gnosticism is explicitly hostile to Judaism, explicitly hostile to the Creator God. Valentinian Gnosticism, slightly less hostile toward Judaism. But both of them challenged traditional Christian teaching in favor of a continuing revelation that is contained in inspired writings, and contain an ascetic ideology. So Gnostics divided the humanity into three categories. The Gnostics, the pneumatikoi, who were the elite and who alone would be saved, the psychic, who had possibilities if they could be converted to Gnosticism, and the heilig, the mud people, who had no future at all. And in their view, the people who went to the ordinary Christian churches were largely the heilig. They had a few psychic among them from whom they could get to their followers. But Gnosticism fundamentally is a highly individualistic, highly mystical, highly elitist form of Christianity. It proposes new teachings, new teachers, and new scriptures that encompass the traditional teachings, but reinterpret them in a fundamental way, so that Christianity becomes a matter of only the smart get saved, to put it in really simple terms. That in order to be a true believer, one had to practice, the practices of Christianity were not those of the body, but rather those that fled the body, so that severe asceticism was required, both sexually and in diet. Indeed, anorexia is sort of the body language of Gnosticism. The less you have of the body, the more you have of the spirit. This was a powerful challenge. There were times in the second century when the followers of Tatian, of Marcion, and of Valentinus probably numerically outnumbered those of the party we now call the Orthodox, those who were the mud people, if you will. But it was such a challenge because it was not simply a matter of new teachers and new texts, but it was a fundamental ideological challenge, which moved Christianity from being a public and embodied tradition to one that was esoteric, mystical, and individualistic. Now, the response of the teachers we now call Orthodox, this is obviously a biased description, right thinking or right teaching teachers, the response of teachers like Tertullian and Irenaeus and Clement of Alexandria had profound consequences for the shape of Christianity through the centuries. Tertullian was in North Africa. Clement of Alexandria was in the city of Alexandria in Egypt. Irenaeus was a bishop of Lyon in France. They wrote massive works in rebuttal of this Gnostic tendency. And the volume of their writings indicates to us how important literacy was among these Christians, how much intellectual labor was going into all of these things, despite the fact that there was still martyrdom going on, still persecution going on. There was lively intellectual debate. Irenaeus, in particular, in his book Against Heresies, Book 3, developed a well-balanced response to the Gnostic challenge. Rather than a truncated or expanded collection of writings, Irenaeus took his stand on a canon of scripture that included the Old Testament, all the Old Testament writings, and the 27 writings of the New Testament. Not because these writings were inspired, but because they represented the sense of what the church really was. Notice that Christianity therefore set itself in a position of a continuing dialogue with Judaism. Christians did not rewrite the Old Testament in the way that the Quran does, or retell that story. Rather, the Christian writings form an appendix to the Old Testament.